sometimes when you're asked to speak, you get whatever you want. Just talk, speak, pray, ask God for the Spirit. We'd love to have you come and just do what you think. You think, see what the need is. Then there's other times where it's like, here's your assignment, right? That's what today is for me as we close out our Trust in God series. So it's been, what, 10 weeks maybe?
Four months
of trusting God and so forth. And today, thanks, Nina. And so today is exciting because I don't know if you've ever thought this or heard this, but there's this rumor out there that I've got a lot of energy.
That's a rumor.
I don't know what people are talking about.
Who said that?
But I feel like this message, because I was given a title and given a point and so forth, and I didn't come up with it, I found some things that were serious nature, important. And I thought we'd slow it down a little bit. Phil's going to come up here in a second here, and we're going to have a chat here in a moment because I don't want my energy to take away from the message. There's no fireplace, but you can pretend there is. Fireside chat here. All right, so today's title is God Reigns. And it's from Psalm 146. I think it goes, what do you think, Phil? Does this go down? It's like a middle miniature. Pretty cool.
There you go.
All right. So are you ready to go?
This is not. I think it's tilted some weird way.
See, I've never done this before. We should have practiced this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Glasses need to go on. So, and I want to just start off by saying from the bottom of my heart just how special this church is. Week after week, month after month, year after year, the way you serve, the way you give, the way you've sacrificed, it's incredible. And I just want to start off with that. And there's something really special about the church. And I also don't want to come across today, nor do I think I've got this figure, this meaning Psalm 146 and the specific topic of God Reigns. I'm going to throw out some ideas. I'm going to throw out some thoughts today. This is not my opinion on what needs to happen. I just want to throw it out there to let you play with it in your head and think about it and let it spin and see what happens.
Nice.
You've been a generous church, years of serving locally, globally. People have quietly, consistently shown up to make a difference. Just even the sound crew, you know, we show up and we could just go through all children's ministry, teen ministry. And a lot of us have it ahead of us. A lot of us, we have it behind us. These things that we've taken on to serve God. And I just really want to say thank you. And today, just maybe this final message in our Trust God series helps you even more take that step into the full reign of God in your life. Wouldn't that be great to just,
yeah.
One of the things said to you besides well done, good and faithful servant is way to let God reign in your life.
Nice.
That wouldn't be bad to hear, would it?
Whoa.
At that last judgment.
Yeah, like
way to let God reign in your life. And today, I hope this helps you to not from scratch, because we've been doing that,
right.
But deeper, clearer, more intentional than ever.
Yeah.
That we spend the rest of our lives with more reign of God than reign of Dave. Put your name in there. More reign of God than reign of Jim Wong, right?
Yeah.
More reign of God than any of us. Because the Lord reigns forever and he's going to last forever. And we're not. In the beginning of Psalm 146, it talks about that. We're just going to become dust. But the reign of God will always exist and always be there. So what does that actually mean, the reign of God? When we say God reigns, it doesn't just mean God exists. It means God rules, God leads, God actively expresses his authority. And, Ashton started off one of his services with that whole thing of like, hey, I'm sorry, this could be a little challenging. I don't know if you guys remember that with Ashton. I love when Ashton speaks. He's so awesome. But he kind of was like, yeah, this might not be a lot of fun to sit through. And I remember him saying that. But I appreciate the challenge, don't you? I want to be challenged. I want to be called higher. I want to be taken higher. If there's something out of line, at the end of the day, if it's God's will, I'm hurting because I'm not in it. Even though the world is so tempting and saying that I am fine. So Psalm 146, let's turn there. Turn there in your Bible. And what's interesting is it starts off in verse, so it's a 10-verse psalm, and it's what we've been basing the entire series on, as I said. Verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And so that's the first two verses. The second, verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they will return to the ground on that very day, and their plans come to nothing. So starts off, praise God, he's awesome. Watch out for princes. Watch out for anyone with a title here on earth, because they're just going to be dust. Then in verse 5, he says, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. And then verse 6, he is the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, and he remains faithful forever. So he brings us to the top of the funnel. Here's man, and here's their destiny, and here's God. And he's above it all. So be in that funnel. Be with God. Put your hope in God. Trust in him. And then he says in verse 7, he upholds. So are you guys with me so far? So now we're going to talk about why. We're talking about who God is and what makes him so awesome. It says, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord, he sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. So that's who God is. That's who he is. Verses 7 and 9 show us how he lives out his reign. Does that make sense? He lives out his reign. How does he live it out? And interestingly, those verses make up 30% of the psalm. 30% of the psalm talks about how God lives out his reign, which means this matters, right? Here's how God reigns. He upholds the oppressed, he feeds the hungry, he sets prisoners free, he gives sight to the blind, he lifts those who are bowed down, he watches over the foreigner, he sustains the fatherless and the widow.
Yeah.
God reigns by moving toward people in need. That's how he reigns. Not from a distance, not just in power, but in compassion, in action and care. The book of James speaks directly to this. In verse James 1:27, it says this, religion, now this is thousands of years later, right? This is James, apparently, you know, history has it, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. And religion that our God accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and not get polluted by the world. Interesting way to put true religion in how I grew up.
Right.
It's faultless if you look after orphans and widows in their stress and not get polluted by the world. Yeah. And just a chapter later, James warns us not to show favoritism, to treat the rich differently than the poor. In James 2, verse 1 to 4. So this isn't a side note scripture. It's central. And here's something we have to be careful of. Whenever we step into serving those who are materially in need, we don't go in as the hero.
Right.
We don't go in, I'm going to save you. I'm going to help you. Here I come with my checkbox and do that duty, right? Do that service. It's so important that we don't have that heart. We go in asking, what can I learn? I was thinking about when Jesus just happened to be in the same place when the woman was giving her two pennies You know, he just happened to be around someone like that. Isn't that interesting? When it describes God that way, yeah, he just happened to be near someone who was completely sacrificial and completely had nothing. Because that's who God is, and that's who he's, that's his heart near. And I'm like, man, he would have missed her. He would have missed her. He would have missed that experience if he felt like he was the hero. He's like, you're the hero. You gave more than everybody else. Everyone was confused. People had laid down sacks of money, heavy sacks of money, and she put in 2 pennies. And he's like, you know what? You're so special. Wherever the gospel's told, you will be in it.
Nice.
And she blew Jesus away. And that's what happens when you're around people sometimes who are materially unrich. You get blown away by what they do and how they sacrifice and how they make ends meet, how they go from day to day.
Amen.
And you're near them and you're around them and you talk to them and you're just sitting there like, oh, it's the unpollutant. There was a very high teacher, you know, when someone wants to make a point, they'll go to Harvard and they find the highest level person at Harvard and they'll interview him. And he was talking about happiness and fulfillment. And I only watched part of the video, but the part that I saw, he was talking about God, and he was talking about serving and giving and how it's not about accumulation. And he said that when he goes to homeless people and he happens to run into them, before he gives them anything, he said, can we stop for a second? And will you pray for my family?
Wow.
I'm watching this. Okay, I've heard a lot, but I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
And he said, because this person in their situation really can't do much more for, you know, what are they going to really do for you if they're homeless and they're actually really poor and they don't know where the next meal's coming from? And he said, it's one of the most amazing experiences in his life.
Nice.
is to pray with homeless, but have them pray for the family, because then they feel like they made a difference for you.
Yeah.
You're on the receiving end of their blessing. This is a huge topic. I know today we're just going to chip away at it, but I just hope and pray that we can learn to have God reign in our lives in this way, this powerful way of serving. And is it okay if I tell you a little story about my last week or two? Would that be okay? All right. I want to start by showing you where everyone who likes my props, here you go. Ta-da! This is my prop.
Come on.
Dude, don't let me forget that sweatshirt. You know what? I'm going to forget that sweatshirt.
There you go.
My wife's like, you're going to forget that sweatshirt. Okay. So, all right. So here we go. So Margie and I had a chance to go. And I just want to, I want to preface this little illustration here by saying that you might be the planner. You might be the executing person. You might be the one who can help to support financially. You might be the one who's great at organizing everyone. You might be the one who does the morning devotional. You might be the one who says nothing, but who decides to tackle the administrative side of a project. There's a role for you in becoming and having the reign of God in your life. A friend of mine said, Dave, how would you like to go to Mozambique? He asked me last year and I said, no. He asked me again this year. And it was right after a trip that we had already taken. I was like, I don't know, I'm kind of the fence. And he's like, listen, he goes, I really want you to come to this. I really think it'll encourage you. And please come. There's some great families coming and I kind of knew one of them and this other family. Talked to my wife about it. We prayed about it. We're like, okay, we're going. And the reason why we went was to support an academy so the person who was leading the trip had lived for 7 years from age 7 to 14 in Mozambique, Maputo to be specific. And 60% of the people, 6 out of 10 of the people live on less than $500 a year. They live on less than $2 a day. And what I learned about people who earn less than $2 a day, they work like 10 hours for that $2. Like, they're the ones washing the windshield. It's not like they clock in for an hour, make $2, and they're done. No, no. These are the people selling oranges, you know, potato chips on the big cardboard thing, holding it like this, stopping cars and so forth. And so it's very poor there. And this man who started this idea of this academy said, you know what? I lived there for 7 years. I've made it. I've been very successful. This person's very successful, very, very successful. He's like, I want to give back. I want to go back. I want to start an academy. And I want to give kids a chance to know that there is something to know. To know that there's different than just your society where you live.
Yeah.
That there's people who really care for you. So 10 of us end up going, and Marge and I are, you know, it's three flights, and that's a whole other story, but we get there, we're like, okay, we're here, and let's go, and our luggage doesn't show up.
Oh, yeah.
And none of it. So we had two little carry-on bags, and so that was Saturday. I was speaking on Sunday, so this is my shirt I had to get from the hotel. Do you like it?
I like it.
So I'm like, okay, well, I have nothing. I'm going to buy a shirt from the hotel. So I bought this shirt, and I spoke in this shirt, and it was great. And so I'm like, okay, the luggage will be here soon. You know, we'll go, we'll get set up. We'll figure life out a little bit. Okay, I was there for 7 days. My luggage came 12 hours before we flew home. Margie's luggage came on Thursday, so she had two. She had no luggage for 5 days, okay? So I'm going to say airline A and airline B. Airline A was the one who was responsible for getting us those bags. And so, they were tough. They didn't have any policies. It took 3 days to figure out who to email. Airline B was amazing. They had a portal, okay? Because the airline B comes into play because when we landed, when the trip was over and we landed, we went to go get our luggage, no luggage. No luggage when we landed there, and no luggage when we came home. I'm like, what's up? I'm like, what is going on? Like, is this everybody? Is this me? Like, what the heck is going on? Airline B, Federal Express, on the phone with me. We're so sorry, Mr. Mitchell. How you doing? How can we help? How many bags? What was in them? Boom, boom, boom. UPS is delivering them. UPS website's incredible. They like to be there in 6.5 seconds. You know, boom, 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 blah, 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 done, done. The other company, Company A, everyone in Maputo was like, go to the store, spend money. They're going to reimburse you. So Martin and I had to get something. So we went and got, you know, clothes. And the airline's like, yeah, we'll give you $100 for everything. We had to buy suitcases to pack the stuff that we had to buy. I'm telling you, it was crazy. And airline A, who lost luggage going in, was like, oh, we'll totally take care of you, no problem. Haven't heard from them. They wanted me to sign $100. They wanted to give me $100 and sign and be done. I'm like, no way, $100. We're over $1,000 here. It's very expensive to buy stuff there, and we had to get stuff. Okay, so keep in your mind, we're gonna come back to this. Airline A was horrible and terrible. No, that's not the words I want to use. They were beyond themselves. They did not have policy. They said whatever they wanted to in hopes that, guess what?
You go away.
Airline B, on it, calling me, tracking everything, giving me 2-hour window when FedEx is coming with our luggage. So put that on the side. Here we go. So while we were there, it was amazing. Over lunch or dinner sometime, Margie and I would love to talk to you about our trip. All I can say is that because of the leader's determination, it's not easy to put together a trip to Mozambique, especially during a war time like we're in right now, and it was crazy. But his vision and decision led to everybody else being able to help serve. There was a brother in the Maputo church who paid for a van the entire time with a driver. Seven days with 12 hours to pay for the van and the driver. That was one person. They also had a farm that they took us to and fed us. There was another person there who, because of what he saw in this beautiful little girl, he's got some friends in high places. He gives her a full ride to a prestigious American college.
Wow.
And tells this little girl, I will pay for all the flights. I will pay for all your tuition. And she's 12? She's 12 years old. And he promised her a full ride. Guess what happens if the person who had the idea to start the academy just goes, nah, forget it. Way too much work. Then the tree of friendships, right, doesn't get to go there. And then, you know, we all don't have that kind of money, right? But like this person, that was their strength. It was means. And then boom, he sees what happens. And then now she's got a full ride. And all she wants to do is come back to Maputo and bless others the way that she's been blessed.
Amazing.
When she found out, she just bawled her eyes out. You guys know how much I love Sam Garrison. And I was like, Sam, the whole time, you know, I'm looking, we got to go back to the schools and go to a school with 750 students, about 13 teachers and 2 computers and no feeding and no food for the kids while they're in school. And so, you know, you just get back, we went to 6 of the kids' homes. They're shanty towns. We walked in and you know, there's the bedroom. And it's about 8x8. It's pure cement floor. And 4 people slept in that bedroom. On the floor, like with blankets or whatever, no beds. And we went to 6 houses. It was all the same. No fathers. Fathers, no fathers in there. And so, again, why am I telling you this? I think sometimes it's like, I got to do everything. I've got to start something. I didn't start this. I said yes. And God bless us with the means to go. And then Margie and I got to contribute and learn and grow in this tree of giving. But it's just like, it's just amazing when you're around people like that who are generous, like generosity begets generosity. And it just, all of a sudden, it's just really fun to be with them. One more thing I'll say is, so they were all between 12 and 14. They lived 15 minutes from the ocean and the beach. None of them had never, ever been to the beach. They'd never swam either in an ocean or a pool. And they'd never been to a restaurant, not even a McDonald's.
Wow.
So the person who was leading the trip found out about that. And 2 days later, guess what they did? They went to a restaurant on the beach, swam in the ocean, and just had the best time of their lives. It was pretty special. And they were swimming in their jeans and their shirts. And the girls had, you know, all their shirt and their clothes. And the boys had the jeans and they're just like acting like, this is the best day of my life, you know. And there wasn't any, where's my bathing suit, you know. I'm grateful for Rhonda.
Yeah.
Heading up our Hope chapter. I really am. And I'm grateful for so many of you who, I could tell stories like that from you in the way that you're generous. We get to see a glimpse of God's reign in motion. And I'll be honest, you know, I came back asking different questions. How does a child with no father, no bed, no carpet, no on a cement floor live with this kind of joy? How is she the one that's always to school on time, always raises her hand, always wants to go to the next level, always wants to just be there? How does she do that?
Yeah.
And then my brain starts to become unpolluted because I see the beauty of just a joyful child, fully engaged in school, finishes every assignment, first one to raise her hand, like I said, never misses a day, in her dream again, like I said, to come back and just build up that area, to learn, to be shaped, to encounter something from God that we might miss otherwise. And there's a book called The Hole in the Gospel where Richard Stern writes, the gospel is not just about going to heaven when you die. It's about how you live while you're here. And so when you see life through that lens, everything changes. So now here's where it gets personal. If that's how God reigns, then what does that mean for us, right? If God reigns doing that, what does that mean for us? We're told in the book of Ephesians to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Don't leave out that part. As dearly loved children. Like, you're in this awesome family. You've got the most amazing father in the world. You've got brothers and sisters. You're dearly loved. And then it's like, imitate God, right? Like, and that's what we try to do as Christians. But now we see the connection. When we trust God, we begin to imitate God. That's where the trust in God comes in this series, in this lesson. If you want the reign of God in your life, then we imitate God because we trust him.
Amen.
I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay lending this out. I'm going to be okay giving this out. One of the most crazy, humbling experiences, it was a little thing, but it was like, oh, man, was, you know, when I go to places, it's not usually Randolph where there's a chance to hand money to someone who's begging for it. Fair to say, right?
Yes.
Right.
But in this one time, I keep ones in my wallet, you know, especially if I'm going to a place with lots of people. And this one time, I'm just being honest, I had a five. Like, what's $5? I know, but that wasn't the plan. The plan was to spread it out over more people. And I had $5. And I just had this moment of greed where I was like, I only have a five. Okay. And I gave it to him. And I repented in the moment and everything like that. That same day, I went for a jog. And I'm jogging around, and I come into Imagination Station. I'm like, what's that? What's that? Get closer, closer, closer. It was a $5 bill in the grass. I'm telling you, it was the same day. And I was like, sorry, God, thank you. You're awesome. When we imitate God, we become instruments of his reign.
Amen.
When we're in that zone, when we unpollute ourselves from the get to the give. And it might even give, get. But when we get back, I feel it already since I'm home. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You go on a trip like that, and you come home, and like right away, you feel that, you feel the motors going from like what, you know, you come down, your dog, you know, does something on the carpet. You're like, I don't have carpet cleaner. So you go on Amazon, I got to get carpet cleaner. And then it just goes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I need this too, and this too, and that, 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 that.
Wow.
And it just takes off, and now it's about everything I need. When you step back and look at the bigger picture, this is exactly what Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He wasn't just giving good advice on the Sermon on the Mount. He was describing life in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
A life where we become image bearers, reflecting the heart of God in the world, where we actually began to live out your will be done on earth as in heaven, where God reigns. This is happening. This is true religion, where God reigns. And so we get to do it. And what does heaven look like? A place where needs are met, where love is active, where people are seen and cared for. So when we trust God, we're not just believing in him, we're allowing his kingdom to take shape in us and through us.
Amen.
Anybody overwhelmed yet with this message? Ah, where do I go? Where do I start? You just start like with the first person you see. Anybody got a family member who's sick right now? Anybody got a family member who's going through a hard time?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's the person sitting next to you. And then, like, you're like, oh, maybe I could help. Or maybe I know someone who could help. This is this beautiful, it's just this beautiful ball of godly yarn, you know? It's just this beautiful ball of godly rain in our lives. But your desires, your sinful desires, are right there behind you, like Roadrunner, trying to catch up, tackle you, put the hood of greed on you, pull a garment tight and just see you fade to the right. At least for me. And it's a daily battle. And I'm telling you, it really is. When we trust God, we're not just believing in him. We're allowing his kingdom to take shape in us and through us. So what does it look like when God reigns in us? You know, let's just turn over to Matthew 25 here. Okay. 25 comes before 26, right? Okay. Thank you. All right. You know what this says, but let's read it. Verse 31. This is Jesus, and you know he's. When you read Psalm 146 and you realize that was in their scriptures, right? When you realize, like, oh, this is what Psalm 46 says, and then Jesus is just reminding them. It's not this all of the sudden thing. where Jesus lays out this parable and this story. It's like, no, this is, he's just saying Psalm 146, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered and he'll separate people one from another. A shepherd, as they, you know, shepherd from sheep and goats, he will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right, come who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. What's not in Psalm 146 is the response. The righteous will answer him, Lord, you got the wrong person here. You know, he's like, when did we see you? Like, you are like, we didn't see you hungry, thirsty, or give you something to drink. It's almost like, Jesus, are you drunk? You know, are you? It's Dave Mitchell. And when do we see a stranger and do all these things? Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, the opposite. Depart from me, you're cursed. I was thirsty, hungry, everything, and you didn't look after me. They will also answer, when did we see you that way? Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. I was thinking about this, and I was like, if I was starting a church from scratch, like, and this is not a knock on our church. It could sound critical. It's not. But I was like, if I just had found the Bible and was just going to start a church, maybe we start like in this a little bit. This seems like some pretty definite language, you know? Like, maybe we start here and then kind of, you know. And it just, the sheep, they feed the hungry, they welcome the stranger, they visit the prisoner, they clothe the needy. And they didn't even realize it. They asked, like, when did we do that for you? Whatever you did not do for me, he says, you know, do you love people? Here's the question is like, do you see me in them? If I have a point, that's my point today. Do you see him in them? Jesus wants to know, do you see me in that person? Were you connected to the reign of God in your life? Not just internally, but expressed outwardly. Yeah. Like, were you connected to the reign of God in your life? Did you use your gifts, not just for yourselves, but to advance the lives of others? Because here's the truth. There's something powerful that happens when we use our gift for others that we will never experience when we only use them for ourselves. God is truly reigning in our lives when we are loving and serving others like this. That's not extra Christianity. That's Christianity. So what can keep God from reigning in us? It's a form of pollution. That's all. It's a form of pollution. Self-focus, comfort, self-sufficiency. When we don't need God, we slowly stop trusting God. But there's a battle. If you look at Eve, and I don't have time to cover this, if you look at Eve, her cup was low when Satan came and talked to her. She wasn't filled with God. She wasn't busy serving, right? She was busy maybe just hanging out. And he comes and he talks to her about the one part of her life that she can't have. She has everything, right? You guys know that? She's got the bar. She's got God. She's got her husband. They've got... there's kids in the room. I won't say, but you know what I mean? Like life is good. The one thing that she couldn't have, there's a little tree. God's like, please don't go there. Everyone else, it's totally fine. What does he do? He's like, you're in lack. You're in lack, Eve. You lack. No, but God said this and this. Did he really say that? She's like, what? Oh, she gave him the time of day. And I know... maybe not today, maybe not this week. He's after me. I'm a little too fired up from this trip. He's going to be like, Dave, but you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. And as soon as I start to turn the reign of God, and I appreciate communion. This is a grace-filled life. We could all have this today. We walk out those doors, we repent. You know what I'm saying? If there is a need to repent, amen? We walk out the doors, we're forgiven. This is not a guilt trip, but like if we're going to talk about the reign of God, then let's talk about the reign of God.
Yeah. Amen.
I thought this was the wrong psalm after I dug into it. I called Phil. I'm like, Phil, is this Psalm 46? He's like, yeah. I'm like, it talks all about the poor. He's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. Anyway, I just was like, wow, this is huge when it comes to trusting God. Trusting God means we can trust to go and serve and give, and we're going to be filled up more than when we started.
Yeah.
That's trusting God. There's a spiritual battle from the very beginning. So here's the call as we wrap it up. Trust God and allow him to reign in your life, not just with what you believe, but in how you live. Start small if needed, but start. Care more. Ask more questions. Maybe change your routine. Look for opportunities instead of avoiding them. Investigate a ministry. Support a mission. Call Rhonda. That should be first. Talk to Sam. This message is not a beat over the head, but it's just calling what it is what it is. And when you start, you'll grow faster than you think you will. You know, go down to Dover and go to the food bank there. It's amazing. The people are incredible. But all the people who come in for food, the people who serve the food, it's just a great place to just start your giving gear, your growing gear, your love gear for God. So you'll begin to see Jesus.
Amen.
You'll see him more and more. Yeah. Not just begging on the corner, but just there he is. I see him. I can help him. I can't help him, but Nino can help him. Nino, this guy needs help in his garage. The boards are falling down. I'm serious. We become that way. We don't have to do everything. We pray with me as we close out.
Yeah.
Father God, thank you for showing up and showing us your reign, not just in power, but in compassion. Help us to trust you more. Help us step in. Help us not take the bait of distraction and self-focus. Make us a people who are alive in your purpose, who love boldly, serve faithfully, and give generously, and reflect your reign in everything we do. We trust you. We follow you. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.